Hello, my name is Daniel Moth, and in this video I will introduce you to tiling with C++ AMP. This is a topic I covered in my MSDN magazine article, and I will be using examples from it. That magazine article, and indeed this short video you're watching right now, assume that you already know how to use C++ AMP, and specifically how to use the simple model. I have recorded other videos on the simple model and have also written another MSDN article on that, so please read or watch those before coming back to watch this video. Okay, so now you're ready to learn about tiled extent, tiled index, and tiled barrier, and you will want to learn about those with the sole reason of being able to use the tile static memory on the GPU. And that has the potential of considerably speeding up your code. So it is a trade-off of complexity by using the tiling constructs for performance gains. So that's what we're going to learn. The way we're going to do that is by using this Visual Studio 11 beta project that I have here, which has a single code file and a couple of functions in it. And if we go and examine this code, we'll see that in main, we go and create a matrix object, which is 2 rows and 6 columns. And we want to populate it with these values. And we do that on these lines here by populating a vector that represents the matrix object. Then what I want to do is I want to sum up all these elements and get the total sum. And I do that here by calling my matrix sum function, which is up here as well. And then I'm going to assert that the sum is what I expect it to be, which is 3060 if you add all those things together. So how are we going to do that sum? Well, we're going to do it in this manner over here. I haven't written all of the code yet. So here I'm using C++ AMP constructs you already know from the simple model. So I'm wrapping the vector in an array view, which is two-dimensional of integers, and it's 2 by 6. And then I go and launch a parallel for each using the extent from this array view. Since the extent is two-dimensional, the index is going to be two-dimensional. And then here is the code that will actually run on the accelerator on the GPU. So when that completes, we're going to go and actually access 3 specific elements in the array view, and we will expect those 3 to hold partial sums, and that's the how we get the overall sum that we return back to the colon function. So if I was to run this code as it is right now, what you'd expect to see is 130 plus 150 plus 170 as the sum, and of course that is not correct. So let's go and run that to prove that that is what happens. So here is the assertion. So if I go and break here and switch to the user code, we'll see that indeed the assertion is fired because that sum is 450. It is not what we were expecting to have. So what we want to do now is go and write some code in here that will indeed make it true that these will be 3 partial sums. And specifically what we want to do is we want to have this element hold the sum for these 4 elements over here. And we want this element to hold the sums for these 4 elements, and we want this one to hold the sums for these 4 elements. So how are we going to do that? Well, the way that I've decided to do this, this is not necessarily best practices or good motivation for tiling, but it's a good algorithm for introducing the tiling concepts, is the way that I've decided to do it is to use the tiled overload of parallel for each. And the tiled overload of parallel for each here expects a tiled extent, not an extent. So let's learn about the tiled extent first. So imagine that I had an extent that was single dimensional and I wanted to tile it, so to get a tiled extent. Let's learn about this. So in order to get a tiled extent, we have to tile the extent. And the way that we tile a single dimensional extent is by giving it a single integer in the template holder over here. So for example, like so. And what this does is it says, yeah, you're going to have an extent of 12 threads. So you have 12 threads in a single dimensional manner that you want to execute your computation. But now you're going to have still 12 threads, but they're going to be organized in 3 different tiles, in 4 different tiles of 3 threads each. Right? So we're saying 3 threads per tile, which means I'm going to have 4 tiles in total. If I had said 4, then I would have 3 tiles of 4 threads each. If I had said 6, then I would have 2 tiles of 6 threads each. So by getting a tiled extent, it's still the same number of threads, but you're actually organizing them into groups, and we'll see how you can use that in a moment. Let's also do this for a two-dimensional example. So for the two-dimensional example, it's a rank of two. You're going to have to organize it into tiles, which would also be two-dimensional if you want. So you'll have to give two integers. So let's say that actually I went like this. Now what I'm saying is that, yeah, it's going to be 12 threads, and they're going to be two rows and six columns. But within that, I'm actually going to have four tiles where each tile is 1 by 3. Or I could have said this, and then I would have two tiles where each tile is 6 threads, and each tile is configured by 2 rows and 3 columns. Right? Or I could have said this, and then I have 2 by 2 tiles, which means 4 threads in a tile, which means I have 3 tiles overall in this extent. And that is exactly the example we have over here. So we have a 2 by 6 extent. So I could actually go and tile it using this technique over here. So I can just take this and paste it over there, and now I have a tiled extent. Now, what does it mean to have this? I want to show you a pictorial form of this. So if we go to the aforementioned article, which is this screencast is based on, I've actually got images here showing this stuff. So if we look at the tiled extent, here is the single-dimensional example and the two-dimensional example. And with the thick black lines, you can see how we've partitioned the compute space represented by an extent to be represented by a tiled extent that further subdivides your threads into groups. So you should use the article in addition to the video in order to understand this stuff. Okay, so now I have here a tiled extent, so I've organized my threads into groups, but as soon as you do that, then this code will not compile anymore, because here, instead of an index, what the Lambda must accept is a tiled index. So how do you change this index, this two-dimensional index, to use a tiled index? This is very simple, almost mechanistic. So all you have to do is, instead of index, use tiled index, and then it's still a templated type, and it's going to want here exactly what you passed when you created the tiled extent, exactly the same thing. And by convention, we name this T underscore IDX instead of IDX. Also by convention, instead of putting these compile time constants there, we extract them out. Like so. So at this point, you're probably wondering, okay, so if I'm getting now a tiled index and my algorithm, using the simple model, already was using an index, how do I get that index object that I know, that global thread ID, essentially? And the answer can be shown with this code. So what I've done here is I just have some code that accesses the ArrayView, and it uses tidx.global. So this global property, that returns the index that you knew from before. And what I'm doing here, I'm just incrementing. This is simply some code to make sure that we have a kernel that does something. And I've also added this line of code to get an integer out of one of the components of this global index. Let's run this under the debugger to understand a bit more what's going on. So if I go here and hover over global, you'll see that indeed this is an index and it's 0, 0, because we're now at thread 0, 0 at tile 0, 0. And if I go and hover over the tiled index itself, you'll see we get a whole bunch of other index objects. So global is the one that you know, this is the global thread ID. There's also a notion of a local index, and this is the index of the thread within the tile. And then there is a notion of a tile index, which is the index of the tile in relation to other tiles. And then there is the notion of an index, the global index of the thread that is at the tile origin. In other words, its local index is 0, 0. So in this case, we're broken on the first thread, so everything is 0, 0. Let me just change this breakpoint, make it conditional. And what I'm saying here is I want to break when the thread second component is actually going to be 3. And if we look at the way our matrix is organized here, we'll see that that means 0, 1, 2, 3. We're going to break when the thread is either executing this number or it's executing this number. So let's continue. And you'll see we broke indeed a thread in the 0, 1 tile, and it's the local thread index is 0, 1, and that's confirmed here when we go and look at these numbers. So I'd encourage you to study these this example to understand all these different index objects. But the important thing is that global gives you the index object you had before, and now you're getting 3 additional index objects. Another way to understand this is to, again, to look at the article. So if we look at the article, I have here an example, which is exactly the one that I'm showing you, where we have the matrix, and when we're accessing this element here, the index objects that you see that you will get from the tiled index variable. So now you understand tiled index, you understand the tiled extents, and we've seen how we've tiled the computation over here. And what we want to do is we want to go and fill in some code to make this algorithm work, to get the sums there correctly. So we don't need any of this other code that we've written. And just to make it super clear, this is now how we're going to access the matrix. So we're going to have a tile of threads accessing these locations, and that tile is going to sum up these values into that location. The second tile is going to access those locations, and it's going to sum up over there. And the third tile is going to access this data, and it's going to sum it up in that location over there. And then at that point, our algorithm works. So the way we're going to do this is by using tile static memory. So let's go and learn about that. What I want to have is here an array, which is going to be a mini array, and it's going to be two-dimensional, and it's going to represent the data I want to use by each tile of threads. And what I want to do is I want to go and in this 2x2 C-style array, I want to copy each tile of threads is going to copy this data into it, and then that data, and then that data. So how can I have, if I declare it like this, then each thread gets its own copy of this C-style array. I want this array to be shared by all threads in each tile. And that's where the tile static storage class comes in. So by putting tile static in front of it, I'm saying this, the values of this is shared with all threads in the tile. And now it's easy. I'm going to go and each thread is going to bring down from its corresponding location from the global memory into the tile static memory. So we're going to use the global index to access the global memory and the local index to populate the tile static array. And that is the end of phase one. So after all this is done, every tile of threads has access to a tile static array where all the values are there available for it. For the second phase, what we're going to do, and you know, again, remember this is naive code, what we're going to do is we're going to let one thread in each tile do the summing up. So I'm going to say only for each tile, only when the local ID is equal to 00, in other words, it's the thread of the tile origin, only for that thread will continue in here and do this summing up. So when this line executes, we're going to have in a local variable for that thread the sum of everything in the tile. So for the first tile, that will be the sum of all of those elements there. What do I want to do with that? I want to store it at the tile origin. So for this case, it will be at position AV0. So how do I do that? And now this should work as we expect, and everything in life is good. So I hope you see the usage of the tile static array over here and how it helps the threads collaborate with each other in order to populate and share data, essentially. Now, if I stopped here, I would be leaving you with a bug in the code. There is a race condition here. And I don't know if you've spotted it, but the race condition is between line 19 and 15. At line 19, what this thread is assuming is that the tile static array is populated by all the other threads. But how can it know that the other threads have also executed line 15? There's no guarantees of ordering and when each thread completes execution. So if you want to write this in a correct way, you would have to have some construct between line 19 and 15, for example on this line here. You need some construct that says, do not proceed beyond this line until all threads in the tile have reached this line. And that is what we call a barrier. So when you go and call the barrier property, that returns an instance of a tile barrier class. You cannot construct this yourself. You can only get it from a tiled index object. And then on that, you'll find a bunch of wait methods. And for now, you know, and until you know more about the differences between them, it's always safe to call wait directly. Consider that the default, and now this code is safe, which means now this will actually work correctly. So if I was to go and put a breakpoint there and execute this, we'll find that at this point we have a partial sum of 876, and I'll let you do the the arithmetic here to see that that corresponds to that value for tile 00, thread 00. If I continue, we hit this now on the second tile, still thread 00, of course. And now the sum is 1020, and again, I'll let you sum those up. And what do you think the sum is for those four? Well, now we're in the third tile, 02, still the 00 thread, and that's the sum for those. And if I was to continue this, we're not going to hit the breakpoint again. We've run out of tiles, but we're also not going to hit the other assertion, and the program completes because we now have the correct results. That completes my introduction to tiled extent, tiled index, tiled static storage, which necessitates the need for a tiled barrier class. I do encourage you to read the MSDN magazine article, which explains this in more detail, because I'm using many more words over there. And if you want to see real usages of tiling and how it can really benefit your algorithms, then go to the One Source of Truth for C++ AMP, which is our blog, and you can see the URL up there. Scroll to the right, and where it says start here, you'll find a whole bunch of samples. And you can go there and see how we use tiling and how we can really benefit, speed up your code at the exchange of the complexity that you just saw. Also from our blog, you can find the link to the articles I mentioned and a whole bunch of other things. So really go and bookmark, subscribe to our blog, and you'll be able to learn more about C++ AMP. And with that, thank you very much for watching.